The Ashley X case created headlines and raised a host of ethical questions in 2007. Those issues are revisited in the January 2010 edition of the American Journal of Bioethics. Hi, welcome to the Bioethics Channel, a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the center and its programs, visit practicalbioethics.org. That's practicalbioethics.org. Doctors Douglas Digma and Norman Faust were involved in the Ashley X case, in which a nearly 7-year-old Seattle girl underwent a series of procedures to stop her normal growth. She was born with a permanent developmental disability. In the AJOB article, the two physicians state opposition in the case had been grounded in distorted facts and misunderstandings. Important concerns have been raised, they say, but not sufficient to preclude a similar approach in the future. Dr. Faust is with the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health.
As we believe that there are many children like Ashley who could benefit from the treatments that she received, and that it will be difficult for them to get it if disability rights groups and so on bring the sorts of actions that the group in Seattle did. So the main reason for publishing in this area is to help other children with this problem so that they can get treatment when it's in their interest to do so. There were criticisms about the process, that the decision to treat Ashley were not well thought out, or that the ethics committee process was flawed in some way. And some of those criticisms seem to be based on either no knowledge of what went on in the ethics committee or assumptions about what went on, or false impressions about the level and the depth of the discussion in the ethics committee.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the question of the ethics committee. There are some who argue that it would have been better addressed within a court setting rather than within the ethics committee, where there were questions about transparency, for example.
Well, if someone's going to make a claim that a certain treatment, let's just take the growth attenuation, which was the major controversy here, should have to be reviewed by a court, they have to explain why all treatments should not be explained by a court. That is, we don't go to a court when we decide to give a child growth hormone, say, to help him or her grow. We don't go to court when we decide to do an appendectomy. The default position is not to go to court. In general, we go to court when there's abuse or neglect or suspected abuse or neglect. And those terms are defined by state statutes. There's nothing that happened to Ashley that meets any definition of abuse or neglect that I know of. In fact, physicians and parents of children with disabilities make far more profound decisions than this one, namely life-ending decisions, decisions to withhold or withdraw life-sustaining treatment. And I've never seen a claim that all of those should go to court. So if growth attenuation should go to court, the people who claim that need to explain to us why arguably more serious decisions, like withholding or withdrawing life support, shouldn't all be court-reviewed. That's obviously impractical, and that's one reason why nobody makes that suggestion.
Dr. John Lantos of the Children's Mercy Hospital Bioethics Center in Kansas City, Missouri, disagrees. In an open peer commentary, he says ethics committee review is inadequate for decisions about sterilization.
For about the last 50 years, it has been the legal standard in the United States that incompetent people should not be sterilized without a court order. Most pediatric bioethics committees know this full well, and before proceeding with sterilization of a minor, they seek judicial approval. Judicial approval is hard to get, and so people are often tempted to try to get around that legal requirement. That's what happened in this case, and it was wrong.
Now, the ethics committee review in this case, then, in your mind, was not enough?
The problem with ethics committees for cases like this is that there's no transparency, there's no due process, and there's no accountability. So nobody knows exactly what went on at that ethics committee meeting. Nobody knows who got to speak or what they said. And so the process of decision-making is inadequate for controversial decisions like this.
So even if the decision of a court may have been the same, the process to you is what was most important.
Absolutely. And whether the decision of the court would have been the same is hard to say, because there's a lot of facts we just don't know.
Another factor in the Ashley X case was the disability rights community. Dr. Faust understood their concerns, but thought they went too far.
I find it understandable that disability rights advocates are always concerned about whether people with disabilities, children and adults, are being treated with respect and not being unfairly discriminated against. Most of my career as a pediatric bioethicist has been devoted to preventing inappropriate discrimination against children with disabilities, particularly children with Down syndrome and spina bifida. And I align myself with those people who want to fight that kind of inappropriate discrimination. Concern is appropriate, but concern is one thing, raising questions is another. But going threatening legal action, threatening licensure challenges to Dr. Deakin and others, and worse, pressuring the Seattle Children's Hospital to sign an agreement under threat of legal action to never do this again without any coherent argument that we could say, that's causing harm. That's not advancing the interests of children with disabilities. It's preventing them from getting treatments that may be in their interest. And I think they went too far.
Dr. Lantos remains concerned that Drs. Deakin and Faust believe these procedures may be appropriate for, quote, carefully selected patients.
Carefully selected sounds a little creepy to me, but only because it begs the question of who does the selecting and by what criteria. It's possible for me to imagine that there are certain patients who would benefit from these procedures, but it's impossible for me to imagine that if the decisions and selection process takes place behind the closed doors of a hospital ethics committee, that that will lead to the sort of fairness, justice, and transparency that we need.
We don't think there is an enormous population of children for whom growth attenuation is appropriate treatment. And all this article, and Dr. Deakin and I have written other articles on the Ashley case with more detail in them about appropriate criteria. But for now, we're just trying to make the case that children who are essentially just like Ashley, that is, just children who are like Ashley in all important regards, are the only ones that we're suggesting at the present time are suitable candidates. We're just saying that it's appropriate for parents and physicians to discuss them. In another article, we suggested, in fact, pediatricians and others caring for children like Ashley should initiate this discussion, and because many parents won't think of it or not be aware that it exists.
Ultimately, the Seattle hospital involved did decide to require a court order for such cases in the future. For more information about the January 2010 issue of the American Journal of Bioethics, visit bioethics.net. That's bioethics.net. I'm Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.